Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us if you're watching online as well. I'm excited because we are jumping into a brand new sermon series. And so if you have your Bibles, man, go ahead and open up to John chapter 1 in the New Testament, the last gospel in the New Testament. We're going to be there. We're going to be in John 4. We're going to be in Matthew 8. We'll be in a couple different places. But you know, if you don't know a whole lot about me, I am from Texas. I mean, that's just, I'm born and raised in Texas. And one of the things that people from Texas really hold dear is the Alamo in San Antonio, because it was where we fought for our independence about 200 years ago. And most of y'all probably understand and know about the Alamo. But there was a moment right before the battle happened that was kind of has turned into a myth about this guy named Colonel Travis, who was in charge of all the troops. And so the Texas troops were about 200 in number, and they were fighting a Mexican force of about 6,000 with General Santa Anna, who was about to show up. And so they had this moment where they were deciding what they were going to do. And the myth goes something like this, where Colonel Travis, he got out his sword and he drew a line in the dirt, and he looked at all of his men over there and said, "Hey guys, we're about to face an enemy that's larger than us. And here's something you can do. You have this moment, this decision to make. Over here on this side, you can leave. You can bow out and you can leave and you can go home. And honestly, there is safety over here. But the problem is there is no real purpose over here. Now, on this side where I am, I'm asking you to cross over and join me in this fight. I can't guarantee your safety, but I promise you, you'll have a greater purpose." And in the Bible and in life, we have these crossing the line moments as well. Which side of the line are we going to be on? In the Old Testament, Joshua was the leader of the Israelites right after Moses, and they had crossed over into the promised land, and yet they had this moment of deciding who they were going to serve. And Joshua, in some ways, he drew a line in the sand and said, "I don't know who you're going to worship, but here's my line, and as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And so this is what we're going to be doing over this month. We're going to each week be drawing a line and asking ourselves, which side of the line do we stand on? And this is really important, because if you're a believer in Jesus, you may not realize this, but we worship the God who crossed the line, don't we? We worship the God who crossed the line. In fact, it was the most radical act in human history, where Jesus, God himself, God the Son, he took on flesh and he actually became a human. He didn't just visit us, but he actually moved into our neighborhood. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read about this moment. The Bible says that the Word, meaning Jesus, he became flesh and he made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. If you want to know what God the Father is like, the Bible says, look at God the Son. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. And what happened is Jesus came into our messy world, didn't he? He didn't just come into our world to judge people like at a distance, but instead, no, he came to love people by walking our streets, by eating our food, by feeling our feelings, and by experiencing the pain that we experience. What he did is he chose humanity. And he chose to actually put on humanity. Not as like a disguise, but instead like a demonstration of his love. He was proving and showing just how much he loves his people. And Jesus went actually one step further by, actually, when he was on this earth, he went to people who were difficult and different. People who were different than us, people that are difficult to love. Jesus went to those. In fact, also, Jesus, he called out the people who, we just call them the religious people. The religious people today, he called them out, the ones who were trying to in a way, kind of protect themselves by being holy And yet in their idea of protecting themselves, what they're actually doing is pushing people away from God. But Jesus was way different. Jesus had this unique ability to be completely holy in one respect, and at the exact same time, break religious rules. Did you know that you worship a rule breaker? Okay? That's who Jesus is. He broke the religious rules. He healed people on the Sabbath, and that's something you did not do. He also went to the homes of sinners. And man, back in that culture, you would be cast out of society if you did something like that. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He broke the rules. Here's our problem. If we're not careful, what happens is we end up drawing lines around ourselves. We kind of box ourselves into this Christian bubble of like, this is how I'm going to live, and this is the way I live out my faith, and this is the way I please God. And we never cross over some of those lines we've drawn. But what if Jesus is not in your box? What if Jesus is standing over here where other people are, and he's asking you to be like him? You see, in our culture, 70% of non-Christians like Jesus. They like Jesus. They like the things he said, what he did, but only 22% like his church. There's a problem, right? Like Jesus, just not Jesus followers. What happens is our culture looks at us and they think that we're more against things than what we're for. That we're pushy, that we're arrogant, that we're judgmental, that we are fake, that we are two-faced. That's how the world views Christians, which is kind of crazy, but it's true. And yet that's not how Jesus was viewed. In the Bible, Jesus was seen as honest. Jesus was seen as someone who was real and someone who was genuine. And he had this perfect balance of actually living with integrity, but also having this willingness to go to places that other people wouldn't go. And in 1 John chapter 2, here's what the Bible says about people who say they're going to follow Jesus. It says this. It says that those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Man, if I could just simplify what it means to be a believer in Jesus and a follower of him, it's not about a bunch of moral rules. It's about saying, I worship Jesus, and how did he live his life? I want to be like him. And what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus, he consistently crossed over into people's lives. And the problem we have is that Christians today, we often don't. In fact, Barna, who's a research group, they came to this realization after surveying people in our culture and realized that we've reached a period of what they call Christian invisibility. Christian invisibility means that the typical American today doesn't have anyone in their circle who is a Christ follower living out their faith. They may have people that claim to be a Christian but aren't living out their faith, but when it comes to actually Christians who are living out their faith the way God wants them to, the average person doesn't have anybody close that's doing that. We've become invisible in our culture. And so here's what we have to do. We have to stop confusing people between who Jesus is and the way we're living our lives. And we have to stop avoiding people by building protective barriers around us and everyone else. Instead, what we need to do is we need to start living as Jesus lived. So think about this. If Jesus were here right now, he's here, right? But like physically, if he was here right now, he'd probably be sitting in the front row because all the good people up front, right, everybody? Okay? All you heathens in the back. No, I'm just kidding. So like Jesus, if he was here physically right here, and he went to church with us, and he had the same job, the same place as you do, and he went to your same school. In fact, he lived the exact same life that you live. Would he treat people the same way that you treat people? I asked myself the same question this week, and I realized we're way off. The way that I treat people, or maybe the way I ignore people, would not be what Jesus would do. What I love about Jesus is that he actually understands people. If you write anything down, we're going to look at a couple of ways that Jesus actually understands people better than we realize. First thing I've noticed about Jesus reading the Gospels is that Jesus understands that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? Anybody that way? Just sick and tired of being sick and tired. There are people in our world every day that we come across, and we may not even realize it, but they are hurting, they're struggling, their marriage is falling apart, financially they don't know how they're going to make it, they hate their job, they hate everything that's going on, and they're just trying to hang on for dear life. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. It happens today, and it happened back then. Jesus met this one moment in John chapter 4. Jesus met a woman in Samaria. And he went to Samaria, and he met this woman at the well, and he has this interaction with her, and he ends up giving her something that she desperately needed, which was hope. He gave her hope. Now, Samaria was a crazy place, okay? In fact, it was a place that Jewish people avoided at all costs. It's kind of like Arkansas today, okay? Like for Oklahoma. It's like you just go around it, like you don't want to go through it, hold your nose. I don't know. I'm sorry, it's going to be online. My bad. You avoid those places. There's places in your life that you avoid. And back then, Samaria was a place that you desperately avoided. And yet Jesus went right down through the middle of it. And he took his disciples with him. And then he ended up meeting a woman there. Now, being a Jewish man, going to Samaria was bad enough. But if you met a Samaritan woman, you definitely did not talk to her. And Jesus spent time talking to this woman because he saw someone who was hurting. He says, I've got something for you. I've got hope. And you and I, if we're believers in Jesus this morning, here's what we can do. We can learn from Jesus. And we can actually be like him. Here's what we can do. We can cross the line into someone's life. And what we can do is we can give them what I call joyful hope that is overflowing in our lives. Because sometimes life stinks. And it's difficult. And people are going through it. And they need joy in their lives. One of the things that makes me really sad about our culture today is we don't have very good sitcoms anymore, you know? Like, they're just not there. I mean, the good ones are back in the day. I love Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't know if you guys like that one, but I like that show because, you know, Ray is just a normal guy, and we can relate to him. And he's got his family and his wife and his kids, and he's trying to just survive, and it's just all the normal things that you and I go through. And yet, on top of it, his brother lives next door, okay? And so his brother is always over at his house, and there's all sorts of the antics and problems. And then on top of all that, the worst thing is that his in-laws had a key to the back door, okay? And they're always over there. I'm triggering some of y'all right now, thinking about your in-laws having a key to your back door. And so you can imagine what was going on in his life. It was a hot mess, a crazy mess. Life was difficult. And we laugh and we relate to him because in some ways our lives are the very same. People are struggling. Life is not easy. It's not a fairy tale. And Jesus recognized that about people. In fact, back in that story with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, here's what he says in verse 14. He says, "Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." He's sitting at the well next to this woman, and he's asking for something to drink. He says, look, I've got something even better. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. He offered joy to someone who was in need of joy. He crossed the line into her life. I think about Jesus also doing that in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew actually wrote the story, the eyewitness moment where Jesus actually crossed the line into his life. Matthew was a tax collector. He was completely shut off from society. He had chosen the Roman Empire over his own people, and his people hated him for it. Yes, he had a lot of money, but man, his life was awful. Yet Jesus stepped into his story. Jesus stepped into his life, and he gave him hope. And what he said is, he said, come and follow me. And he gave him a purpose. Let me ask this. When was the last time that you gave a stranger joyful hope? One of the things that makes me so ticked off, I'm just so tired of watching unhappy Christians. You know what I'm saying? Like, Christians walk around, got a frown on their face, and everywhere they go, no one wants to talk to them, and we just kind of mind our own business, and we just kind of go through life with we're just unhappy. How are we unhappy? If we have Jesus living inside of us, if we have the hope of eternal life, And we have purpose on this earth. Why are we not the happiest people around? We should be happy because Jesus was. In fact, we should be fun because Jesus was fun. You want to know how I know Jesus was fun? He got invited to a lot of parties. Jesus was invited to parties all the time. When's the last time you were invited to a party? Right? One of the reasons you may not be invited to parties is because you're no fun, right? Jesus was fun. In fact, Matthew recognized that. He just met Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me. And Matthew said, look, I'm having a party. I got my friends. I want them to meet you. And I'm going to invite Jesus to the party. And what he did is he brought the way, the truth, and the life to the party, okay? In that moment, that's what Matthew did because Jesus brought joy to people that he encountered. Do you bring joy to people the same way? It's something that Christians should be known for. We shouldn't be known for rule following. We should be known for joy. In Romans chapter 15, the Bible talks about it. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will do this. Will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. The reason we have that joy is because we have hope in him. And here's what happens when you're filled with the joy of God. You will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That should be what people know about us. That we're giving people, wherever we go, joy and hope. Instead of condemnation or weird looks or ignoring them altogether. In fact, here at Central, here's what I like to call Sunday mornings. I like to call Sunday mornings us just throwing a party, okay? Where people can experience joy and hope and be with other people. And it's an opportunity for you to invite your friends and your family and people that you know so they can be a part of that as well. Because it's one of our core values here at Central to pursue joy in all things. Like, we should always have a smile on our face knowing what Jesus has done for us. I love how Jesus knows us. He understands who we are. He understands that life is difficult, not just for believers, but for unbelievers, everybody. It's difficult. Life stinks sometimes. Jesus gets that. But he knows what we need. The creator of the universe, he knows what we need. You know what I realized reading through the Gospels, what Jesus knows about us? He knows that people need people more than we'll admit. We need people. Even if you're somebody like, I don't need anybody. I'm just a self-made man or woman. I can do my life. No. Like, you know that. You know it's true that you need people. You know it's true that you need family and friends and community. Jesus knows that about us. And so when he was on this earth, he did something radical. He stepped over so many lines to give people what they desperately need. One of the greatest stories is in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus is with some of his disciples, and this guy with leprosy shows up. They're walking along the path, and this guy with leprosy who is not allowed to be next to anybody, okay? This guy, culturally, he's got boils all over him. He's covered in all of it. It was very contagious, and culturally admit that they believe that you must have ticked God off. You must have done something so bad that has happened in your life. It was like a scarlet letter on their soul. And in their culture, they were completely kicked out of the community. And this guy is walking along the road. I mean, he was COVID distancing before that was even a thing, okay? He had to stay away from everybody. You guys know what that feels like, where you want to be around people, but you just can't do it. And this is what was happening to this guy. Anytime he tried to get close to people, they would just kick him away. And all of a sudden, he shows up next to Jesus. And Jesus' followers, they stop. I mean, they're walking like, oh, guy with leprosy, stay away. Jesus, we need to go the long way around this guy. And Jesus continued to walk up to this guy. And this man, on his hands and knees, he looks up at Jesus and he begs him. He begs him, will you please make me clean? Now, the truth is that he didn't really, it wasn't just about healing him of the disease. What he was asking Jesus to do is, will you let me back into the community? I need people in my life. Can you imagine not being touched for years upon years? Some of you guys you're holding on to the people you love right now. Like, you love physical interaction. We love people close to us. Can you imagine if no one had touched you in years? No one had gotten close to you in years? And he's begging, Jesus, will you cleanse me so I can be back in the community? And here's what Jesus does. He walks up, and his disciples are like, don't do it. And he goes up, and instead of just healing him, he goes and he touches him. He touched a guy with leprosy. Changed his world. Jesus crossed over the line to be where people were. That's the question for us. If Jesus, again, were here, physically, where would he be? Where would you find Jesus? Would he play it safe and build a moral bubble around himself to protect his reputation? Would he just live at the church and like have a cot in the back and just stay here and expect everybody to come to him so that they can experience life with him? Or would he actually be where people are? And based off of the Gospels, I can just tell you, Jesus would be where people are. Not sinning, not losing his integrity, but also not afraid of what other people might say about him. And not afraid to get himself a little bit dirty. Here's the truth this morning. You and I, we need the same attitude that Jesus has. What we need to do is we need to cross the line into someone else's life to the point where they feel genuine and true love, but also to the point where religious people feel offended, okay? We need to offend some people that are moralists, okay, in this room. Well, we do some things that seem a little radical, but man, it's just what Jesus would do. Sometimes the greatest act of love that you can give someone or you can show someone is just recognizing that they exist instead of ignoring them, showing that they actually have value, and going even one step further to where you're not afraid to be seen with them. That's how Christians are, man. You'll hang out with people until another Christian shows up and you're like, I gotta go, right? You back off a little bit because I don't want to be seen in front of these other Christians with you. You want to talk about killing them. How devastating that is to their soul. We ignore people. We push people away. Yet Jesus was different. Jesus was willing to be with those who other people weren't willing to go to. What about you? Are you willing to go to them? Or are you kind of just disgusted with the way they live their life? And like, I've got my morals and I can't be seen with them. I can't go to the places or be a part of what they're doing because what will people think? Or perhaps you're just too busy. That's one problem about Christians. We're just so busy in this world that we just don't have time for people. But when we say we don't have time for people, what we're actually saying is, I don't have time to be like Jesus to people. I don't got time for you, God. I got my life. I got all my things. I can't do it. So, let me ask a simple question. What are your plans this week? I don't know if you're like a calendar person. I'm a calendar person. I can look and see all the things I've got going on. Let me just ask this. What would happen if you just added a greater purpose to those things? Where instead of just going to the grocery store and getting some Hot Pockets and tortilla chips or whatever, and like just trying to make it out as fast as you can, and I got things to do and places to be, and man, that line, there's two people in line, what am I going to do, right? You've got to get out as fast as you can. What if you stopped and said, I'm going to go to the grocery store and get those things, but I'm going to say hi to some people. And not just in a casual way, but I'm going to ask them, how are you doing? And look in their eye. Or, here's a crazy thing. Walk down the alcohol line, right? The row where all the alcohol is. You know, Christians won't find themselves there, you know? You won't go there. You want to know who's there? It's where all the Catholics are, right? I'm just kidding. I don't know. That was terrible. No. It's where real people are. Yeah, here's the truth. Some of you, you won't go down some aisles. You won't go down some places in town because you don't want people to see you there. Because the purpose of your life is not to be where Jesus is for other people. It's to make yourself look a certain way in other people's eyes. And yet God is over here saying, I want you to go be with people. I want you to take my message of hope and love and give it to them. It's one of the reasons why we're having this workplace mission trip this next week for our educators. It's just a simple way of just going and living your normal life, but doing it on purpose, with purpose, talking to people about Jesus and showing them the hope of Christ. Look, you can do that this week too. You have an opportunity to be Jesus' hands and help someone who's in need. You also have an opportunity to be Jesus' feet and actually cross over into someone's life and just, maybe it's going to change their life. Think about all the times where Jesus walked into people's lives in the Gospels and it radically changed them. And now he calls us to do the same. You know, think about that story, that myth of that legend of the Alamo where that line was drawn. And here's the truth, man. It's so much like our lives. Staying over here on the safe side of the line, it's kind of easy. Naturally, we want to protect ourselves. Yeah, there's no purpose. God's saying, trust me, go be where I am. And over, Jesus, he would cross over the line into people's lives to love them. You and I were called to be like Jesus. He's over there. You know, a lot of times we've drawn this line of, I'll name the line. The line is religion, okay? And we're over here. The line is self-righteousness. Thinking that is going to be what defines us. And we stay over here. And yet Jesus is over here saying, come. Don't give up your integrity. You know, don't sin. Like, you can still come over here and love people in my name. What happens is that line, what it does, it keeps us from actually fully following him. We stay over here and say, I'm following Jesus and I'm doing all the right things. Yet Jesus is saying, go. Jesus says, go. Not to be, he doesn't call us to be perfect. He doesn't call us to protect our reputation. He says, I'll take care of that. I want you to go. I want you to go and be where they are. We were called to be like Jesus, to live like he lived, to go where people are and enter into their world. So we call it humanity. Jesus entered into our humanity, and thank God he did, right? If Jesus was willing to step into your world to save you, would you be willing to step into someone else's so they can hear by the love of Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the chance just to see Jesus' example. And man, it's a tough one sometimes. It's so easy just to stay inside of our little moral bubbles, thinking that that is what it means to be a Christ follower. Yet there's more to it. There's so much more to it. Yes, God, you call us to be holy. You're not calling us to sin. But God, you are calling us to go to the people you love, to cross the line. These lines that we've created ourselves, that you never wanted us to have in the first place. And we know this is true because of how Jesus lived his life. Lord, if we're really going to be Christ followers, we got to ask ourselves, are we really following Christ? Are we going where he goes? Or are we saying, I'll follow you, Jesus, but I won't go over there. That's a line I won't cross. Yet there's people over there that love you, that you love, and we should love them as well. So God, I pray you convict us right now. Lord, if we need to repent of the way we've been living, change us, God. I pray for anyone in this room who's who needs to know of the love of Christ, needs to experience the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of their sins. I pray that today might be the day of their salvation, that they would put their hope and their trust in Jesus who died on the cross but also rose from the grave. And he says, come, follow me. I'll give you eternal life. Pray that today they would say yes to Jesus for the first time. And Lord, for all of us who have said yes, where are we saying no to you? At work? In our neighborhood? At the game? In our daily lives, God, where are we unwilling to go for you? Convict us, change us, and may this week be different for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.